It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. And hello once again. It is Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
We are Analog Living in a Digital World. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and tech news that you can use. Of course, we're all brought to you by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. 5756 East Side Road. 530-244-4423.
There you go.
I've been doing that for 10 years.
Well, you know, you got to have a brain fart every once in a while.
Oh, dear me.
Bubbles right. In the brain.
You know, this is a show about the gadgets and gizmos, as we say at the very outset. And I love technology. I have loved technology for as long as I can remember. And Americans, we love our gadgets, don't we?
Oh, indeed we do.
We love our cheap gadgets.
Well, certainly affordable anyway. Affordable, I don't know if I would call it the $1,200 or $1,100 iPhone cheap.
But if it were not manufactured with relatively low costs and a very compact controlled supply chain,
right,
that computer you pack around with you would probably cost quite a bit more. Think about
it. Oh, yeah.
We talked about that VCR that I had that was like $4,500 brand new, and what it would cost in equivalent dollars today. It was a big deal when the PC first went under $1,000.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big deal.
Yep.
It was a big deal when computer memory dropped below $1 a megabyte.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're down to $1 a gig.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
This is all made possible through economies of scale that the Chinese are extremely good at, which kind of leads us into... So we have this relationship with China as the workshop of the world that... Nearly all of our manufacturing in high tech has migrated over to the Far East, whether it be in mainland China or in Korea or in other points of the region. That's where the heavy lifting of the manufacturing that supports our digital lifestyle is happening.
Yep.
And we started giving this up all the way, you know, back in the 90s is when these computer... building job. I mean, in the 90s, we had Compaq. We had Hewlett-Packard down in Silicon Valley. We had Apple all building stuff domestically. Gradually, we sent it all overseas to China because they can do it a lot cheaper. That means lower consumer prices and more sales. Then you have Amazon. Back, according to an article in Bloomberg Businessweek, this story begins even before this, but it really started coming to light a couple of years ago in 2015. There was a startup called Elemental Technologies, and the idea was they wanted to do a major expansion of their video streaming service that we know as Amazon Prime Video.
Right.
Now, in order to smash up video, the whole problem with getting video through a computer... through an internet connection has been the level of compression required to get that high-quality signal down into something manageable so you didn't end up having to buffer it for an hour before you could begin watching. Because we want this stuff right now. That's the other part of this addiction. We want that gratification right now.
Well, and
we don't want to wait.
But, yeah, you used to have to wait. But it also has to do with bandwidth usage as well, right?
Mm-hmm. So a company called Elemental Technologies made software for compressing these huge video files, formatting them for several different devices. They helped stream the Olympic Games. They communicated with the International Space Station. And they did things like funneling drone footage to the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, this wasn't the reason that Amazon Web Services was looking at them, but that was a part of the picture. Now, Amazon hires a third party to look at the security. And the very first thing they started looking at, there were some issues, some troubling issues. The servers, and the servers are, of course, the very specialized computers that you send a request, they serve you up the data. And large data centers have stacks upon stacks upon stacks of servers. If you watch the TV shows, that's the room with all the blue lights and row after row of racks of equipment. Well, every one of those racks has maybe 100 servers in it, and every server is passing out files and data to maybe 100,000 people. It's amazing, all this stuff. The servers were assembled, and this is this, how this chain goes backwards. There's a company called Super Microcomputer. They're out of San Jose, also known as Super Micro. They are one of the biggest suppliers of server motherboards. Now, that's a piece of fiberglass that has chips and capacitors and microprocessors and memory and all the kinds of things that make a data center work. In the late spring of 2015, Elemental staff boxed up some servers and sent them off to Ontario, Canada for a third-party company to test. During this testing and teardown of these servers, the testers found a microchip about the size of a grain of rice that really wasn't on the blueprints. Now, when you think about how complicated these things are...
That's some serious sleuthing.
Yeah, it is serious sleuthing. Amazon reported this discovery to U.S. authorities, and the whole intelligence community went, uh-oh, because these servers were in the DOD, the CIA, networks of Navy warships. All this was held very top secret. This was a major national security breach.
Not only that, the company that assembled these servers for Elemental, as a company commonly referred to as Supermicro, they were not the only ones doing this. I mean, using these boards.
Multiple people familiar with the investigation say it was found that the chips were inserted at factories run by manufacturing subcontractors, of course, in China.
Big surprise.
This alarm has been sounded for years, and yet people are acting surprised. So a couple of things you need to know as a listener of this program. First of all, your laptop, your desktop, the computer you use in your day-to-day operations is probably not compromised in this manner. However, that having been said, were I looking for a new PC, I would follow the lead of the United States government and not buy a Lenovo.
Yeah, definitely stay away from Lenovo.
Which is sad because Lenovo, of course, bought the ThinkPad. What do you suppose there wasn't an idea here? The ThinkPad is the most popular business computer ever.
And on the face of it, the Lenovo computers are quite robust. They're hardware.
Oh, they're well built.
Yeah.
But they've been caught with some pretty dodgy software on it. But evidence is mounting that these computers may have been implanted with this hardware device that's extremely tiny, hard to find, and deceptively simple. But what it literally does is open that computer up for an external intrusion. It, not mattering how many firewalls. And this is deeper beyond
right.
The operating system.
What makes this so... alarming, or I don't know. I'm not sure I want to use the word alarming, but what makes this so important and so noteworthy is that hardware hacks, software hacks, everybody's used to. You know, you get in and you get people's information, you find a way in through the back door with passwords or something like that. But hardware hacking, putting in some kind of piece of equipment like this, is much more difficult to pull off. But the gain for, in this case, the Chinese, is that it, or whoever wants to use it, not just them, is that it provides a very stable platform and way for them to do hack things, get information long term.
Mm-hmm.
And it's somewhat difficult to detect.
This is still being tightly wrapped. The government isn't saying much, but this is what has been coming out. One official says investigators found eventually 30 companies, including a major bank, various government contractors, and the world's most valuable company, Apple, have received these servers. Apple was an important Supermicro customer. They had planned to order more than 30,000 of these servers in 2 years for a new global network. Insiders at Apple say now that in the summer of 2015, they found something hinky with these motherboards. They severed ties with Supermicro and subsequently removed all of the Supermicro devices from their network.
Mm-hmm. To accomplish this, it's not that easy. This is not some teenager hacking into something or some casual group or whatever. This is a systemic, purposeful thing. For one thing, you have there has to be a deep understanding of the design of a product, and then messing around with it, those components at a factory level, and then you have to make sure that the doctored devices get through pass inspection, and they get through, you know, whatever kind of safeguards may be in place to prevent this sort of thing.
So here's how the hack worked. This, according to U.S. officials, and again, we're quoting from the Bloomberg report here. A Chinese military unit designed and manufactured microchips as small as a sharpened pencil tip.
That's pretty small.
Some of the chips were built to look like other components, so that they could be decoyed and hidden on the board, but they were tiny microcomputers with memory, networking capability, and processing power sufficient for an attack. The microchips were inserted at Chinese factories that supplied Supermicro. Then those boards were built into servers, and the servers were sent off to data centers. As soon as the server was turned on, the microchip altered the operating system's core so it would accept modifications. The chip also contacted computers controlled by the governmental attackers. Again, these computers have been traced back to China to begin more code, to begin inserting more code. So this is essentially a very big deal. All these major companies that contract with Amazon Web Services, all these companies that now, researchers have said it does not appear that this caused problems for Apple's personal information being leaked out. Enough of that has happened through other means.
Yeah, that's more software type malware and whatnot type. Yeah.
But hardware attacks like this are nearly impossible to detect. Hardware manipulation creates a real-world trail. Now, these components have been backtracked to their origins. These corrupted chips were followed back by U.S. intelligence agencies as recently as 2016. The Supermicro had three primary manufacturers constructing motherboards. See, it's not just a company. Supermicro's a San Jose-based company. Where do they get their parts? They get the parts from a vendor in China. Where does the vendor in China get his parts? From another vendor in China.
Mm-hmm,
where
exactly.
Do they get their parts? From sub-vendors.
Right.
The story goes that these Chinese officials that who belong to the People's Liberation Army Cyber Warfare Division that they approached the managers of these subcontractors who were building modules to go on these server boards,
mm-hmm.
basically put the squeeze on them and said, you either let us work on your line or we're going to shut you down. And these companies are expected to make quotas because of the way the Chinese
right.
manufacturing system works.
That's how they keep it cheap. So this was
government officials say they've been tracking these guys for longer than they would care to admit.
Well, it's really interesting. So this was, you know, definitely a purposeful, systemic, insidious thing, and it's just not the U.S. I'm sure.
No, this is
global. I'm sure this is what they're.
Well,
they're doing.
And here's the thing too: the European Union is all in a dizzy, fining Google for being intrusive, right? They're so focused on taking down the U.S. company and squeezing money out of them that they are ignoring this threat inside computer data centers, and this is a lot bigger. So what's your options? Do you shut off all your computers and go hide in a cave? No, that's not real practical. Just be informed of what's going on, and maybe if you are so inclined to do, send off a letter to your congressman. Will you get on top of this thing and get us some real cybersecurity and quit messing around with these people?
Well, you know, you'd say, well, why would they want to do that? Well, they're after corporate secrets. They're after government secrets. They're after anything they can use.
Warfare is no longer a matter
right.
of big guns, big bombs,
that's
whatever.
Right.
You financially wreak havoc from the inside.
Well, that's one approach. The other approach is to kill off computers. There's all kinds of approaches. When you know everything about what's going on in the other country, there are no secrets, and you can exploit that. This is cyber warfare. Now, is the U.S. doing this? Really good question. I'm going to guess not, because we don't have manufacturing plants here. Have we gone to vendors in China and said, ooh, we want you to put this little spy chip on the computer so we can tap in these things? I don't think that would work real well.
Yeah, because then you're reviewing. Anything that you say to a Chinese company is going straight to the ear of the Chinese government. Come on. And I'm not. The Chinese, of course,
too.
Are denying that any of this is taking place.
Of course,
place.
That is their MO.
They are painting themselves as victims of a smear campaign. Of course, they're pointing at Trump, saying he's saying these bad things about us. I've already seen somewhere somebody say, "Well, look what happened on Trump's watch. Did you not add up the numbers?"
Yeah, it was long before
when this
that.
Started.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Amazon was looking to buy Elemental. Obviously, they have determined that that is
probably not a good idea.
Not a good idea. China has long been known to monitor banks, manufacturers, ordinary citizens, because that's just the way things are.
We do the same.
Our companies like Google and of course, Amazon trying to do business over there is always put at a disadvantage. So, where is this going? Let's flash back to February of 2015, or September 2015. President Obama and President Xi Jinping appeared together at the White House. They had a press conference. They supposedly did a landmark deal on cybersecurity. The U.S. had extracted from China a big promise that they would no longer support the theft by hackers of U.S. intellectual property to benefit Chinese companies. Left out of all these pronouncements was the fact that the White House was pretty worried that they already had more advanced methods of hacking by getting into the supply chain. It was too obvious and too tempting of a target.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And particularly since Supermicro sells, you know, more motherboards than anybody else out there.
Over the decades, the security of the supply chain that puts goodies, gadgets, and gizmos in every house in this country, just about. The faith has been that China wouldn't jeopardize their position as a workshop to the world because we are addicted to the low-cost products, and it was just up to their that would be in their best interest not to contaminate the supply chain and make us start thinking about working on a withdrawal. as it is right now, you like your you like your cheap stuff, you may not be able to get cheap stuff. There's been a lot of calls, bring all the manufacturing back to the United States. Well, people in the United States like to get paid significantly more than people in China get paid. A lot more.
Yep.
So you have to figure out, here's a great quote.
We don't have the manufacturing infrastructure to support
that. We don't, not at this time.
No.
And we may very well never have it. You end up with what one former official calls Satan's bargain.
Yeah.
You can have less supply than you want and guarantee security, or you can have the supply you need with high risk. And every organization accepted the second proposition.
Mm-hmm.
In the 3 years since this first came up in the intelligence community, not to the public, it's just now reaching the public, there's no viable way to detect more attacks like this one. Companies don't all have the resources of Apple and Amazon, and even for them, it was a lucky break to discover that something was up.
Yep. Undetected, it would have gone on for who knows how long.
Right. So we don't know if all these servers have been purged. Nobody's wanting to say anything. But just a major story shaking up the cyber world this week. Apple, of course, again, according to 9 to 5 Mac, strongly refuting the story.
Well, yeah, they have quite the reputation that they have no part of that. But who's to say that this supply chain hasn't done something to, you know, to their stuff?
And this isn't the first time Apple has come out, oh, everything's fine, we've got this under control. Of course, every company's going to do that.
Of course they are. Yep.
In a statement to CNBC, Apple says they're deeply disappointed that Bloomberg put out this story, that they may not have been open to the possibility that they or their supporters might be wrong or misinformed.
Oh, my goodness.
Apple has issued strong denials of the Bloomberg report, saying, our best guess, they are confusing their story with a previously reported 2016 incident that they discovered an single infected driver on a Supermicro server in one of our labs. That one-time event was determined to be accidental, not a targeted attack against Apple. Of course, they're trying to calm down mm-hmm. the shareholders who are mm-hmm. no doubt freaking out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is the kind of stuff that can half the value of a company.
Well, under all of this, under all of it is follow the money.
Yeah. Apple claims they have never... Now, you listen to me, I never had. Apple says they have never found malicious chips or hardware manipulations. Apple says they or the FBI haven't found anything about such an incident. They don't know nothing. They go on to say that, well, even if there was a problem, no user data has been compromised. The trouble is, so much has happened that we, the first time a company makes this statement, our BS meters slam against the stop peg. Because we've all heard this before. Companies,
yep,
humana, 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 you know, yep. The PR wheels start spinning at the speed of light,
mm-hmm.
and it all turns out. Look at the hack of Equifax. Only a few hundred people were a few hundred thousand. I mean, it's a couple of million, half the population of the United States.
And Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, same thing with Facebook. You know.
Speaking of which, if you live in Europe and you can prove that you suffered some anguish, that you could
anguish.
Yeah, you can get $8,000 from Facebook. Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh man. Anyway. This is a story worth following because it has these massive implications.
Mm-hmm.
Is it absolutely true? I have questions about that, but it certainly seems to be a case of where there is smoke, there is most likely
some fire.
A pretty good fire. It is Boomer Tech Radio. We are reaching the bottom of the hour break. I want to thank you for listening. There'll be more to hear on a variety of tech topics right after these messages. It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Hi, I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR, 1460 AM on the dial. It's called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 AM. Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's The Flotline with Rick Hughes every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 a.m.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
An Oregon District Attorney's Office recently dropped all charges against a street preacher after Pacific Justice Institute drafted a legal brief requesting the charges be dropped on constitutional grounds. You see, street preachers have a right to preach their gospel message in public forums.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? No, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading. On the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneville. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Each and every week, Advanced Automotive brings you this program. We just went to see them just before coming here. They did some work in our GMC Yukon, keeping it alive and happy. Well, it's an old Ford. Remember you when you drove that off the lot?
I do remember when I drove that off the lot.
I remember when I drove my Jeep off the lot, also in 04. And we still have those vehicles. We hang on to our stuff, you know. We don't have to. We talk about the latest and greatest. We don't have to have the latest and greatest. Interesting story here. By the way, if you want to follow our stories, you can, of course, subscribe to the Flipboard magazine. You can do that on your iOS or your Android device. Get the Flipboard app and subscribe to Boomer Tech Radio. You see some of the stories that have inspired the things we're talking about. A San Jose woman's Fitbit helped provide clues to police investigating her death, leading to the arrest of her 90-year-old stepfather. San Jose police say Tony Aiello was arrested Tuesday on suspicion of murdering 67-year-old Karen Navarra on September 13th. The San Francisco Chronicle reported Friday that her Fitbit recorded a rapid rise in her heart rate before a sudden drop off to nothing, helping investigators piece together clues to her death. Now, this is really interesting. The newspaper reported that autopsies found multiple and deep intrusive wounds to her head and facial area.
Ugh.
Likely inflicted by a small hatchet or axe.
Jeez.
Nearby cameras captured
Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, now here's where it all ties together, and this is we talk about
technology
Minority
Assist.
Report.
Yeah, technology assist here.
Nearby cameras captured the suspect. The suspect's car. He hasn't been convicted yet. At her home, at the same time, the Fitbit showed her heartbeat failing. It was booked into county jail without bail on suspicion of murder. Not be immediately determined if he has an attorney. But how about that? All these little seemingly unrelated pieces of digital information are little footprints that we leave behind us as we stroll through the modern world, bring this criminal down.
I hope that is admissible evidence in a court of law, that there isn't some obscure law that says where reality... Law hasn't caught up with the reality yet.
Right. Well, you know that if he gets a lawyer, there's going to be question about the timing of the Fitbit. Was it properly calibrated?
Right.
Who had their hands
exactly.
on the Fitbit? Things
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
But supposedly, the Fitbit checks back to the mothership, and uploads its data into the cloud.
Right. Was it she the one wearing it and all that sort of thing, which probably was. They probably found it on her. So that's crazy.
So
crazy, crazy people.
The time wasters, we have a lot of them these days in our digital lives, a lot of things to just suck your time into a vortex. And nothing is more of a time suck, in my opinion, than Candy Crush Saga, the most downloaded game of all time on iOS. According to a report on the most popular iOS apps of all time, the mobile puzzle takes the lead, also having generated the second most revenue out of the selection of apps on iOS. The top games by all-time downloads are dominated by Subway Surfers in second place, Fruit Ninja in third place, Clash of Clans in fourth place. I've looked at that one. And Honor of Kings in fifth place. It's an addictive candy-based puzzle. It swept the globe when it was released. It was sort of the next big thing after Angry Birds. Remember that? And Candy Crush Saga. And it's one of these things where you download for free. But if you want to play faster... if you don't have to keep waiting for the timeouts, you have to buy your coin. I don't even, am not even familiar enough with the game.
I don't know. I've
to know what you have. But they have in-app purchases.
Right. Well.
And that's the big thing. The game is free. It's like the Schick razor or the HP printer.
you get the box for nothing, but the stuff to keep it going, you pay through the nose for.
It gets to that point, I quit playing.
Yeah.
I've done that with a couple, and it's like, oh, now you have to pay to play. Okay, bye.
The Angry Birds, Temple Run, Minion Rush, and Asphalt 8 Airborne, or, of course, other mobile runs. Mobile games like Fortnite continue to dominate charts, and that's probably what's going to eventually rise to the all-time best. But right now, the all-time best, and a friend of ours was... I wouldn't say addicted, but it was very popular. I remember on Facebook, and I cut off all those notifications. There was a game called Farmville. Remember
that? Yes.
And everybody wanted you to
join in on
into
Farmville.
The vortex.
No, thank
on
you.
On Farmville,
they quit sending those. It's sort of like the robocalls on your cell phone.
Those got
cut off. Farmville, I think they got such backlash that they quit trying to force market it to you like that.
But of course, that was a Facebook thing, but all of these games, you know, if a game is, quote, free, then they're harvesting your data, and they're probably harvesting it even if you're paying for the game. Your location, what you're doing, the time you spend on it, what did you look at immediately before, after, or maybe any time once that game is on your platform?
Yep.
Your information has an intrinsic value. Now, this is the stuff of science fiction. A company called D-Wave Systems, they are a Canadian manufacturer of quantum computers. How Star Trek can you get?
Oh, yeah.
The company is making powerful machines and software development tools available for free through a new internet-based platform. The move likely to hasten the commercial use of quantum computers for tasks as diverse as finding the best way to route taxis through the busy city streets to hunting for new pharmaceuticals. Now, there have been a series researchers that have been building quantum computers with more and more capability. This is pretty much the way dawn of the computer age when it comes to quantum computing. Let's see here. I'm trying to look for a fundamental description of what quantum computing is.
Well, that's what I'm doing. But if you look at quantum mechanics, it's something can essentially be in two places at once, if you will. It sort of skips through space, wormhole concept, if you have any idea what that is. You can be here and pop up over here. It's a little more complicated than that, to say the least. But all of the computer stuff that we're used to needs to be encoded into binary bits. In quantum bits, or qubits, Q-U-B-I-T-S, they can be in what they call superpositions of states. And that's that in it, both point A and point B is the way I understand the quantum type thing. So what does that do? You go, so what? Well, it makes them incredibly fast.
Yeah.
Which means they can process, the bottom line is, it makes them incredibly fast, and it can process a ton of data, a lot of data, very quickly. So as things rapidly changing conditions, such as traffic, for instance, can be figured out. And ultimately, these kind of computers could probably anticipate where that traffic is going to bollocks up or whatever, and then forecast a way or find a way for that taxi to make its way most efficiently through town or what have you. Getting back to what the Canadian company wants to do.
Yeah, so the computer that I'm sitting in front of I'm sitting in front of a couple of them. The system you're probably using to listen to this are what are called classical binary computers, which have remained relatively unchanged at their very cores of in terms of their how they operate since the days of Alan Turing. In fact, the test for artificial intelligence is known as the Turing test. Great movie. With Benedict Cumberbatch, the Enigma machine. I think that's the book. Was that the Enigma game?
Game.
Yeah, the Enigma game. Great book about the great Alan Turing. But he actually laid down some of the rules for binary computing. And that hasn't changed a lot. In fact, they go back even further, back to Babbage's difference engine, where you have two states on, off. Quantum computing is a range of possibilities. It's you sort of get into that whole Schrodinger's cat thing. The cat is neither alive or dead.
Right.
It's a range of possibilities.
Right.
And that's sort of the way that our own brains work, is that we sift through a whole lot of possibilities very, very quickly before we reach a conclusion. And even then, a new piece of data may cause us to change our conclusion, might change the answer.
Right. It's a very different way of doing things, if you will. It's kind of, you got to really dig into it, but they didn't have quantum physics when I was in college. Well, they may have, but that was probably PhD level stuff. That wasn't down at the undergraduate level.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like you said, a range, the difference between algorithms in a computer as we use them every day comes up with some kind of finite answer. Quantum algorithms tend to give you a probabilistic result, meaning, you know, like you said, there's a range of possibilities, this or this or this. And that, we use that a lot in weather forecasting as well. For instance, long-range forecasting, trying to figure out, you know, what's going to happen over the next year. It's all about, do you have temperatures above normal or below normal or near normal? Any one of those three categories could happen. But what the model tries to do is figure out which one is more probable than the others.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can't make a good differentiation between you got a one-third chance of this, one-third chance of this, and one-third chance of that. It can't determine that. So as well, equal chances of any one of those happening.
Yeah.
But sometimes it says, oh, I think there's more probability that you're going to have above normal temperatures.
Mm.
So I've dealt with that concept for a long time personally, but getting there, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So is the cat alive or dead? It's a spectrum of probabilities.
Yep. Now, when I was in high school, one of our classes got into doing some very, very basic, in fact, we were writing in basic, computer programming, where you filled out sheets and then transferred the information onto punch cards. There was a time when the key punch operator was an extremely well-paid profession.
Yeah.
There are no more of them.
No. That's sort of like a good typist.
The key punch machine was the size of an office desk.
Pretty much.
And they would put it in the blank cards, and that's where you had the do not fold, bend, spindle, or mutilate. And it only held 80 characters on a card. So if you were writing a program of any length, you had stacks after stack of cards.
Right.
And then we put the cards in a, you know, wrapped the cards up in a folder and sent them off to the college to rerun. And you got it back a week later. And mine, of course, didn't work. I had a big sheet. Remember green bar printout?
Oh, yes.
14 inches wide.
Yep.
With green, alternating green and white bars on it. Mine said syntax error,
yep.
Fail run.
I always had a syntax error because I couldn't type for beans. That was my biggest problem, is that my key punch, there was nothing wrong with my programs. It was my typing.
Yeah.
Terrible typist.
So, you know, it took a week to get back the results. Coders can sign up to D-Wave's platform for free, and they get a minute of computer time on the quantum servers. Well, what the hell are you going to do in 1 minute?
Think about how fast a quantum computer works.
Company,
that is a long time.
Company says that is enough time. That 1 minute of computer time on a quantum system is enough time to run between 400 and 4,000 software programs, depending on their complexity. Programmers will get a free additional free minute of computer time a month if they contribute at least one software application they have created to a free code repository called GitHub. That's amazing.
That is amazing. That blows your mind. What do you mean 1 minute of computer time? Well, look what can be done in that 1 minute.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That shows you how fast we're talking about. So the ability to analyze data, to create programs, to understand things, see patterns that we can't see right now with quantum computing, it'll blow that wide open. The weather forecasting, celestial.
Yeah, very complex.
Very complex motions and conditions, interconnected things, being able to take seemingly unrelated data sets, analyze them, and see if there's any connections, all that kind of thing. It's
connecting the dots.
It's going to be interesting. I would say that quantum computing, when it comes online more in an everyday sense like we have now, that it will change how we model things considerably.
Mm-hmm.
Especially natural systems. Just a guess.
Yep. Last week, we mentioned about the problems that Apple stores have been having with smash and grab raids. After a string of robberies by a criminal ring led to over $1 million in stolen devices, the company is now contracting with police officers to stand guard outside Apple stores in Sacramento and Roseville. 19 counties in California throughout September were hit by these gangs. But Apple's contracting privately with these off-duty police officers means that no taxpayer dollars are going to this extra shifts. Having actual cops on the scene can maybe be a deterrent.
They already had...
been doing this.
In SF. The San Francisco and the Union Square Marina. And Union Square Apple stores, we've been in the Marina one, they believe that that's why those stores haven't been targeted by the theft ring. And so, are they going to get, is the 17 people that they have, is that it, the whole ring? This kind of implies not. They don't think it is. Or you get copycats, too.
Yeah.
You get some folks that say, oh, let's try that.
And how long before somebody does something really stupid?
Well, let's hope not. I mean, your cheap device, yes? Doesn't seem cheap, but it's just stuff. Yep.
I'm going to skip forward a bit. Pick on Apple just a tiny bit. Now, I love my 2012 MacBook Pro, although it is... approaching in computer terms, somewhat octogenarian status. But it's unibody construction. I was able to go in all by my lonesome and replace the hard drive, replace the memory, and upgrade the memory. Well, Apple doesn't like it when you do that. They get very annoyed that the end user might actually consider themselves savvy enough to go in and upgrade or fix their own computer. That just is not allowed. You're just supposed to sit there and click the darn mouse or tap on the screen and let them worry about the heavy stuff. Pay no attention to the hardware behind the curtain. Apple is supposedly using new proprietary software tools. If it is not used on key part repairs, that will shut down the system. According to a document distributed to Apple's authorized service providers, without this proprietary software, if you do something like replace the display board, logic board, keyboard, trackpad, the lock will engage if you replace a logic board or flash storage, and then you have to take it to Apple, who will say, you should have come to us first and charge you probably double or triple. So, now, Apple's thing is that this is to ensure the security and safety of our users, because they're and they may have a point. Let's suppose that there's a repair shop that is secretly inserting spy chips on your system when they're supposedly just in there upgrading your hard drive. Could be done. We don't really like to think of our PCs as being little sealed box. But tech critics and e-waste activists are saying that making your computer into a black box is just another way to force you to upgrade and buy a new device every couple of years.
Forced obsolescence type of thing.
Now, Apple's been fighting against the passing of so-called right-to-repair laws. Now, 19 states have proposed legislation regarding right-to-repair rules, but no state has passed a bill that would ban the use of, say, proprietary diagnostic tools. I'm thinking this. What's probably going to happen with Apple is that you are going to lease your computer from them.
Mm.
it won't be your computer because it's already not your software.
Right. You leased the software. It's particularly
not
cloud-based.
Your movie.
Right.
Look at things like the Adobe software.
Right.
You are paying a membership
subscription.
Fee, a subscription fee.
Yep.
I'm betting, and some car manufacturers are leaning into this as well, I'm betting that in 10 years, you won't own your personal computer. You will pick it up. You will be assigned your computer. And when it will be updated, because this is what Microsoft is doing. They're updating you remotely, and you have no say in the matter. And then when it has reached a certain lifespan, when the lease is up, you turn it back in and you pony up again. So you become a continuous income stream, and no longer will you see people like me who have antique XP machines running some specific task without being connected to the internet because it works just fine. I have an old Apple, I have an old Mac Pro Tower, one of the first ones, that is going to be used for never connected to the internet and used for a specific task. Well, that's a sale they're not going to make because they want to sell me the latest, greatest, three-eighths thick, MacBook Pro.
Yep. Well, the whole concept of a computer subscription has its own problems from that point of view that you're forced to get something new all the time.
And you can't build your own system. Well, you can't with an Apple anyway. There are what are called Hackintoshes, but Apple just gets quivery when they...
For some people that's going to make sense, maybe a business or students or something like that. But there are still people who are going to want to mess around with their own equipment, have their own, control their own makers. So it might become a subset, if you will, of the computer world. Someone like a friend of ours whose computers always seem to be locked up for whatever reason, this could be a good deal because it probably you can get a maintenance contract that they are allowed to go in and fix whatever is hung up.
I'm thinking the Surface is going to head in this direction.
That makes sense.
Microsoft Surface computer and that Mac will be sealed devices. And you go pick it up from the store, you sign up for the service, it's not really yours. You are leasing it like you would lease a car.
Right.
I'm betting in 10 years that will be the norm.
I'm sure that's certainly going to happen.
Remember, you heard it here.
I don't know. We probably won't be around in 10 years to say we told you so.
maybe not even 10.
I mean, Boomer Tech, it won't be around to say
but,
that.
But I'm betting that is how... That is the direction that things seem to be taking.
Well, cars are already going on shared things. Yeah, phones too. Yeah, that's true.
I'm betting that especially if the phones become prohibitively expensive to own outright, you may find yourself going to the Apple store, signing up, getting your phone. The phone actually still belongs to Apple. Because it's all proprietary inside,
you're just
paying for the privilege of using the device. An argument could be made that that's going to reduce secondary supply chain because when the time is up, you turn the phone in. Boomer Tech Radio, goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, tech news you can use. Back with more after the top of the hour break following SRN Radio News. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Senate voting right now in the Supreme Court confirmation of Judge Brett Kavanaugh, 50-48 in favor of confirmation. Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska voting present, as Senator Daines of Montana did not vote. He's out of town at his daughter's wedding. Almost as soon as Vice President Pence called the body to order to begin the proceedings, protesters stood up and continued shouting in the gallery area. Mr. Pence several times asking the sergeant at arms to clear the gallery as they continued to take the vote. But 50-48, the vote is confirming senators, confirming Brett Kavanaugh as the next Supreme Court judge. A $480,000 donation from the Musk Foundation to schools in Flint, Michigan for installing ultraviolet water filtration systems to drinking fountains. Systems expected to be installed in all 12 schools and the district's administration building by the end of January. Volunteers are burying more victims in a mass grave a week after a powerful earthquake and tsunami hit the Indonesian city of Palu.
Despite all that grim news, there are a few glimmers of hope returning. Power has come back in parts of the city. More aid is coming in. Several nations, India, Malaysia, Singapore, the UK, Australia, the US, are providing military aircraft to airlift people out if they want to leave.
Correspondent Stephen Wright reporting. Indonesia's top security minister says the government's considering turning some of the areas of the disaster-stricken Sulawesi Island into mass graves. U.S. unemployment rate fell to 3.7% in September. Gus Fouché from PNC Financial Services says it's the longest streak of hiring on record. Once again, the U.S. Senate votes by a 50-48 margin to confirm Brett Kavanaugh as the next Supreme Court justice. This is SRN News.
Pat Boone here again, and I assure you, I have never before endorsed a pain relief product. Not until now. Not until Relief Factor came along as a 100% drug-free solution for people struggling with ordinary pain. Quite simply, Relief Factor was designed by doctors to help relieve those occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, and everyday living. Let me ask you, are aches and pains keeping you from sleeping through the night? Or keeping you from taking those nice long walks or playing golf or tennis? You can't really call it living if you can't get around comfortably. The 3-week quick start from Relief Factor may be all you need to lower or even eliminate these pains. A whole lot of people have already gone to ReliefFactor.com, and here's something you need to know. The majority of people who order the 3-week quick start, now only $19.95, go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to ReliefFactor.com.
One of the EU leaders said that both sides are getting closer to making a deal on Brexit amid reports that two sides are starting to find common ground on the fraught issue of the Irish border.
Whilst last month negotiations stalled as EU leaders rejected British PM Theresa May's proposal for post-Brexit economic relations, deeming it unacceptable, recently European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker commented that the rapprochement potential between both sides has increased in recent days. Officials have been meeting behind the scenes before an upcoming key summit in Brussels, as EU leaders say there needs to be major progress at the meeting for there to be a deal before Britain leaves the bloc on March the 29th. Juncker said a no-deal Brexit would be bad for both Britain and the EU. Karen Chamas, London.
On this date in 1939, the German Chancellor Adolf Hitler spoke of plans to reorder the ethnic layout of Europe. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The American Academy of Pediatrics is calling for a ban on infant walkers.
Infant walkers were associated with injuries serious enough to require emergency room visits over 2,000 times last year in the United States. The manufacturers say that the walkers are much safer now than they were 25 years ago, and that parents and caretakers need to monitor toddlers more closely. Many serious walker injuries involve falling down steps or falling off curbs into the path of vehicles. This is Charles Snyder reporting from Washington.
The U.S. Supreme Court will not review an Obama-era action that put land around the Grand Canyon off limits to new mining claims. The Obama administration put over 15,000 square miles outside the boundaries of the national park off limits to new hard rock mining claims until 2032. The 20-year ban was meant to slow several mining claims over concern that the Colorado River, a major water source, could become contaminated. Check out more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. And welcome back. This is Boomer Tech Radio. And I'm still Bob Belongi.
And I'm still Brenda Belongi.
Welcome to Hour 2 of the program with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, tech news you could use. And, of course, always brought to you by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. 5756 F West Side Road here in Reading. 530-244-4423. Welcome back. All kinds of neat stuff. Now, of course, we talked about the big. If you are just now joining the program live, you want to go back to the archives on KCNR1460.com. Listen to the previous hour. Really big story about a massive hardware intrusion that is still being investigated. It could be affecting some of the major servers for Amazon and Apple. They say there's no problems, but we'll see.
Well, as a result of that, and actually we're pre-recorded this week. You said live, so.
Oh, it did.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it live or is it memorized?
Well, if you are just joining the show on the radio,
there we go.
You can go back and listen to the archives, of course.
True enough.
You can
but
do always.
Don't call us because we're not in the studio
we're not,
this
we're
week.
Not actually here.
Right. So the
even when we're here, we're not here.
as a matter of fact, an article brought in by BBC News that's posted on the Boomer Tech Flipboard page, Lenovo and ZTE. I'm not familiar with ZTE, but anyway, they're both Chinese companies. Their shares have taken a huge hit, apparently. Lenovo's shares fell more than 15%, and ZTE lost more than 10% because of this alleged, that according to the Bloomberg article that we referenced in the beginning of the last hour, said that the microchips were found on gadgets used by the U.S. government agencies and that Lenovo insists, though, that it doesn't source parts from Supermicro, the firm that was at the center of those allegations of the hardware kerfuffle.
Now, Lenovo has been caught.
Yes.
With software that was a very questionable veracity on their systems. This is why the U.S. government will not allow its agencies, any of them,
right,
to purchase Lenovo computers and laptops, in spite of the fact that they are quite well made and they are based on that traditional IBM ThinkPad platform.
We had them at one time, but all of a sudden we had to get rid of them.
Yeah. So why do you think that is? of course, there have also been questions about phones from ZTE. Where it is possible that because they're very popular in China, naturally, and there were lots of questions about was the government using these ZTE phones to track their own people? Most likely. Supermicro says this is all untrue. Apple and Amazon says they haven't been compromised. I'm thinking there's a story here. I don't think the Bloomberg guys just made this stuff up.
I seriously doubt it. And Bloomberg is not a organization,
yeah,
publication, or whatever.
One of these fly by night
no.
internet only outfits.
No.
They have this is a major business
National Enquirer type stuff.
Yeah, this is a major business source that their credibility is their stock and trade. So
right.
I would think that they would have checked this story because the implications are just so drastic.
That's they're global.
This is not what I would call careless reporting.
No, and it's and the implications of this are global. It's not just the United States. There are many other entities that could be affected by this as well.
So what are your choices? Do you just absolutely never get another piece of technology? No, that's not going to work. But just be aware of what's going on.
Well, it'll be interesting to see the ramifications of this. Let's put it that way. Many times on Boomer Tech Radio, we've talked about simple things you can do. You know, we talk about change your passwords. If you're a fairly new listener to Boomer Tech Radio, we can't emphasize enough. You know, it's interesting. Let's just say that this story about how do you keep your Wi-Fi network secure.
Now, back in the old days, around 2000, 2005, you could actually go into apartment buildings and see one or two Wi-Fi signals, and they'd be wide open. I can log on to this one.
Wasn't too many years ago that we pulled in the parking lot of a motel ourselves to use open Wi-Fi. But that's a double-edged sword. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch in that case. Today, people can be hacking into that. They can get into your device if you're on that. So you have to be careful with that. But the thing about it is, what does it matter whether I have my Wi-Fi secured or not? And the big thing is that you don't want somebody tapping into your computer doing illicit things, either selling things illegally, looking up porn. Is a really good one. You can get slapped for that, and they will trace where it's coming from.
Right.
And even if you're not the one that actually did it, it looks like you did it. How would you ever prove otherwise?
There have been individuals whose houses have been raided when somebody pulls up on the street, says, aha, an unlocked router, tap into it, and then they these people who work via the dark web, running some everything from child porn to illegal drugs and everything else.
We'll take advantage of your connection.
Unsecured Wi-Fi systems, and guess who gets the knock on the door if you're lucky?
Well, the thing about it is you go, oh, who thinks like that? Well,
the bad guys
there are people who do. You say, well, that will never happen to me. Well, it's happened to somebody. And it's not that you have to be paranoid. It's just that you need to be smart and prudent. These devices are potentially intrusive, and not only that, if you have a wide-open network and you don't have things secured, they can get into your computers and get private information and things like that that they should not have and do not need to have. So you definitely need to do that. So how do you go about that? If you've bought a brand-new router, it'll have information in the package, you know, how to change the password. That's the big thing. Make sure it's tied down with the
password. Change your access password. Don't let it be the default.
Right.
If you type in password, I'll come over there and thump you on the end of the nose.
We've talked about secure passwords have punctuation marks in them. Not all of them are allowed, but many of them are. Change E's to 3's and things like that you can kind of recognize. Use a phrase or use the first letter of a phrase that's meaningful only to you and that you would understand.
The first line of the song the first song that you dance to, something that means something only to you.
Right.
And then using a combination of letter,
number, and
punctuation, character substitution.
Right.
Unusual spacing, maybe you capitalize all the vowels, or maybe you capitalize all the consonants.
Right.
You substitute a 1 for a, or substitute an O for a 0, or a 0 for an O. These are all very common things. Make it fairly easy, though, and it isn't foolproof, but it's going to be very hard to brute force hack.
Well, if you make it complicated enough, they'll go looking for some other place that's a little more easy, like an open Wi-Fi that doesn't have a password.
You
or the password is password, or the password is 12345 6.
You don't have to outrun the bear. You just have to outrun the guy next to you.
Yeah, that's right. It's that kind of thing. Think you're sufficiently inhospitable and they will go elsewhere to look
exactly.
for things. So, you know, just make yours a little more inhospitable than
be
the neighbors.
Be a harder target.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty simple. But what if you have an older router and you go, oh, my gosh, I didn't do that, or I don't know if I did that, or I want to change it because... you know, maybe the boyfriend's moved out or the girlfriend's moved out or the kids are getting too clever or what have you. You can just Google the model, make a model of it, and it should say how to do that mm-hmm. in there. Now, not that your kids can't figure out how to do this too, but you can't just change the password wantonly. I believe you have to have a password to get in there and change the password
right.
is how
right.
that works. It's just like your smartphone. They can't just change a password. You have to have the old one to get to the new one.
Now, here's an interesting thing in the article. If you, say, have a service of Charter, Comcast, AT&T, your password's probably right there in bold letters on a sticker
mm-hmm.
on the side of the router.
Yep.
So if you entertain people, you have guests over a lot, maybe you don't want your system password, especially if your kids have their friends over.
Yep.
You're going to want to do a little maintenance there. Change the default password, even if it's something really funky, and rotate that password, you know, once a month or something. Get into some security habits. If you're in the habit of leaving the house, automatically locking the door, get in the habit of about once a month. So set a timer on your phone, you know, a reminder on your phone. Change your passwords.
Right, or just the first of the month, you have a list of things you do, and that's one of them. There's also ways to create zones for the kids or guests or what have you that only give them, you know, gives them access through the Wi-Fi, but not to everything in the house and everything else that's connected. So that's another security feature that you can have. You can also check up on who's on there.
Yeah, so you can get a table of all the devices that are currently talking to your router. It's called attached devices, and it varies from router to router. But if you go through and say, okay, there's my thermostat, there's my iPad,
right.
there's my Kindle, wait a minute, what's that?
Right, exactly.
And maybe it's a very weak signal.
Yeah.
The neighbor tapping into your system?
Exactly.
Maybe they're looking over your shoulder every you know, and intercepting your packets. It's a very scary world out there, but you can protect yourself with some real basic functions.
The idea of the table should be familiar to you. If you have a smartphone that you use as a hotspot, when you turn the hotspot on, it'll detect other devices in the neighborhood, and the ones that are supposed to be connected, allowed to be connected to your hotspot, will show up on your listing with your hotspot on your smartphone or your smart device. Because some tablets can be, you know, connections too.
Now, by default, your router broadcasts its identifier. It says, "Here I am, connect to me. Here I am." Even if it's locked down, if you've got a default password and here's your router going, "Here I am." Well, you can turn that off, so that the router is still sending out a signal, but it is not identifying itself constantly. So your friend's or nemesis's tablet or laptop will not see that as a valid network because it's not an identified network. It's just another signal.
That's a good way to do it, too.
There are some apps. There's an app called Fing, F-I-N-G, acrylic Wi-Fi for Windows, or Who is on my Wi-Fi for the Mac OS. These are apps that are free for non-commercial use. They let you look and see who is bouncing around and on and off your network. So maybe you have noticed all of a sudden your Netflix has gone to like, we have noticed that a time or two. And what we've discovered is recently we have had to reboot our router a couple of times in the past few weeks.
Seems because to get balled up.
It, we've got enough things.
The use of it, yeah.
We've got a couple of smart speakers. We've got our thermostat. We got about four tablets in the house. You know, and it's just all of these things are competing for your router's attention. So if you don't have a super great connection to begin with, things can get balled up very rapidly. We were kind of indulging in our one of our current binge watches, and it just kept stuttering out. So after a reset, now you want to reset your router, don't just push the little button. We've talked about this before. Pop the power supply out. Usually it's just a little plug on the back with a little thin two-conductor wire attached to it that goes to the wall plug. Pull that plug out. Now, if you were getting your phone service through your internet provider, that means you're also going to take out your phone service. So bear that in mind before you start this process. Pull the plug, router goes dark, and you go do something for 10 minutes. And I can speak from experience, 10 minutes is forever when you can't look at your phone or look at your tablet or any of that stuff that you're used to doing.
That's true. When you're in a pause and you're just, you know, kind of waiting for something to happen, you might pick up your phone
and
catch
email. Can't do that.
It's pretty interesting. Have a magazine nearby.
Yeah.
You know, something. Go feed the cat, take the dog for a walk, something like that.
Your Kindle doesn't necessarily need to be connected in real time because it's got the stuff loaded in.
Correct.
The whole idea is you got to wait about 10 minutes.
It takes a while.
That's sort of a magic number because all the memories in the router are going to go to sleep, and it's going to lose all those numbers. When you plug it back in, it now has to rebuild these address tables one at a time. And that's why it takes about 8 to 10 minutes for your system to come back up. So you got about a 20-minute interval before your computer, your house system comes back to normal.
Another thing, too, if you go on vacation or something like that,
right, pull the plug.
Turn it off. Disconnect it from the phone line, your supplier, you know, internet service provider. Just actually unplug it. You know, you can power it down and just take the cable feed out of it, if you will. The data feed, disconnect the wire, the network wire. And
there's another reason for that, too. We had a thunderstorm over town the other day.
Oh, yes.
If you get a lightning strike on the lines that feed your house, those lines are going to carry that surge right into your equipment and possibly right into your computer. And so if you're home, you can say, uh-oh, it's starting to get a little noisy out there. I'll just shut everything down to protect my network, protect my house. But if you're not home, of course, you can't do that. So.
Right.
Plus, you're kind of reducing the amount of air pollution in terms of radio frequency. Here's a really interesting article from VentureBeat. Now, one of the things that Brenda and I discovered that we have in common early on, at the time we met, that both of our fathers were suffering from Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's is, of course, a neurodegenerative disorder. It affects your movement. It impacts more than 10 million people worldwide, 60,000 diagnosed every year. Now, if you can detect it early before the severe symptoms hit, you can more effectively treat it. If you wait until things have gone way down the road,
and
it's very difficult to treat.
Unfortunately, traditional diagnostic techniques for Parkinson's usually means the person is well into it before it's diagnosed. In the case of my dad, the doctor said, well, I think this is what you have. Go home, get worse, and come back, and then I'll know for sure.
Yeah.
And by that time, you know, you've got well-established symptoms and so on and so forth. But what's interesting here is that an AI is showing some promise via a smartphone of being able to diagnose the disease. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, now, there were studies done by Johns Hopkins and the University of London used to monitor changes in Parkinson's symptoms, but what they discovered is that a person can be just walking, and this is another area of health tech that we've been talking about. Now, we've heard about the Apple Watch that can detect odd rhythms that are indicative maybe of a problem developing, and that's actually been okayed by the FDA.
Yeah, cardiac in that case, I believe.
Yeah, cardiac. On the same token, certain ways of moving and hesitations that are too subtle for the human eye to detect can be picked up by the sensors in a smartphone, because your smartphone has extremely sensitive motion detectors, little tiny solid-state gyros that are very sensitive to acceleration and changes in very subtle changes in motion. Because of the way that there are tremors that appear in your voice that may not be obvious
not
to
obvious.
The listener.
Right.
But the phone can analyze the pattern and say, there is a problem here. Certain muscles aren't working.
Right. And also the come and go nature sometimes, or the timing of these things. You know, someone might be fairly functional in the morning, but by the time they get to the afternoon, they get tired or what have you, and the symptoms will be exacerbated and they will show up. So, you know, when you go see the doctor, you go see the doctor for what, 20 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
And the symptoms may not be present at that time. But if the smartphone tests that they have, even something as simple as carrying it around in their pocket, can detect these things and figure out a pattern to them as well. So, you know, a tool to analyze them and see what's going on.
This is not, of course, a perfect model. It is another tool. But then again, as we have said, Parkinson's is nearly impossible to diagnose because there is clinical test for it. It
right.
is evidence-based rather than clinical-based.
Why most Parkinsonians are well into Parkinson's before they get diagnosed, because it takes a long time for very obvious symptoms to show up. And this has some, you know, this is quite experimental. It's not a 100% test, but it shows a lot of promise, and more research will be done in that arena. And it's just, it's so interesting how technology, again, can detect these patterns and see these things that we as humans cannot see. Of course, we're better at some things than machines are, and these things are better at some things than we are.
Mm-hmm. The Australian National University has announced the invention of a, here's more science fiction, part organic semiconductor. The team of engineers is touting the development as paving the way for bendable devices such as mobile phones you can just fold up and stick in your pocket, maybe roll into a cylinder. The tiny flexible semiconductor is both organic and inorganic materials and can convert electricity into light very efficiently. The organic component is just the thickness of an atom made from carbon and hydrogen. This is pretty cool. This is where we're going to see these super thin displays.
Resistance is futile.
This could lead to more implantable electronics that don't have the
bulk
irritation and
yep.
rejection
yep.
capabilities.
Yep, that's very true, too. Yep.
Maybe you want to have, instead of tattoos, before long, you'll have these things just under the skin, and they will, you know, glow. And you want to change your tattoo? Just reprogram it, and it'll display something else.
Take your Raspberry Pi and reprogram your electronic tat.
Or your personal phone says, okay, he's drunk, and it says, you know, drive, you know, take me to such and such.
Sharpies do pretty well for that, too. Just write it on their skin. We've seen that done
a couple of years ago at Shasta Lake. Individuals would have their houseboat number written on their arm with a Sharpie. So when they had too much, and of course the obvious solution is don't have too much, right?
But
some individuals will, of course, have too much, whether or not they're going to become future Supreme Court justices. And this was a way to make sure that these individuals got back to their particular boat. The right or wrong of it, that's sort of beyond the discussion of this program, as are a great many things. But interesting concepts here that we are seeing, things that only existed in science fiction here with us every single day. And that's part of the reason for this program to exist in the first place.
We are Borg.
Locutus. That was quite the makeup job they did, by the way. But we are getting closer and closer. Are we sacrificing our humanity on the altar of technology? I don't know. I think there's always going to be a lot of us in us. But you want to read the books of, like I said, William Gibson. Mm-hmm. If you have never read William Gibson, it's a difficult read. The books are hard. But you see stuff that was written half a century ago that is now coming to fruition. And people said, oh, no, it will never happen that way. Science fiction gets it wrong a lot of times, but they also get it right a lot of times in a very prescient manner. I'm going to look a little bit into the future, and what do we got coming up in our final segment of Boomer Tech Radio? Let's see here. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about rogue satellites, movie pass, playing Pokemon Go in national parks, the Internet Bill of Rights, all kinds of pretty groovy stuff coming up still on Boomer Tech Radio. Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toya stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a Redding sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. Welcome back. This is Boomer Tech Radio. Still Bob Belongi and Brenda Belongi and the analog living in a digital world. Catchy theme song. Of course, 8-Bit Junkie, composed and performed by George Wood, used by permission off the PodSafe Music Network. So, we talked about Space Bees.
Yeah.
A couple of months ago.
Yeah,
and this is a company that got themselves in some pretty hot water when the FCC said, no, we need to know more about your satellites. And they said, oh, we don't need no stinking FCC. So they went to India and launched some of their satellites into orbit. And the FCC said, wait a minute, you're a U.S. company contracting with a foreign power to launch objects into space.
Right. The company is a
U.S. You can't do that.
The company is a startup company called Swarm. And they decided to launch things and then ask for forgiveness later. And in spite of that, the FCC is still figuring out how to punish them. But it also just granted them a temporary license to send up a few more satellites.
Well, this is because of the possibilities here. This is an Internet access through a network of extremely small satellites. Right now they're in the testing phase. Trust me, this is going to go IPO before long because Internet access anywhere...
Right, is like the golden
dream,
the brass ring. I mean, that's just the golden ring.
This is why Google was launching those gigantic, silly balloons. This is why Elon Musk is trying to get his network up. There are ways to get Internet access from almost anywhere through a network called Iridium, which is insanely expensive. In fact, because we have intentions of going kind of off into the... wilds at times where we might be out of sight of the nearest handy cell tower.
Or it becomes...
the data plan is still pretty insane.
Yeah, it's like GPS, okay? When GPS first came out, this and that, we still had Loran C and other ways to navigate around the globe. Well, that's all been decommissioned because now GPS is all satellite-based. Of course, one good CME, coronal mass ejection from the sun, could kind of terminate all that. Everybody's going to have to learn how to navigate the old way, like latitude and longitude.
Yeah.
And that's sort of, not that GPS doesn't do that, state that, but, you know, it's a completely different thing. So, but the first company that's going to be able to do this, provide internet anywhere, it won't matter whether you live, you know, out in the boondocks or you live in town. You will have the same kind and quality of internet connection as everybody else. My brother is suffering that right now where there's fiber optic up to the house, but the servers at the ISP aren't worthy of fiber optics.
Yeah.
It's got to be a whole package here.
A fast pipe with a plug drain.
Yeah, pretty much. A fast pipe with a very slow feed.
Slow faucet.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't really matter. The end user is still not getting... what some people say in a major urban area can have. There's this would definitely bring parity and universality to, you could be out backpacking, and so one of the great things about backpacking is you don't have self-service, right? Well, this might change that.
There is a device, connectivity. Yeah. There is a device called the Spot.
Yes.
Now, we also
available.
As members of the Coast Guard Auxiliary, we have these little palm-sized devices that from anywhere, pretty much anywhere on the planet, you can pop this thing open, hit a button, and it says, I am here, I am in trouble. That's about all it does. They activate a national network that communicates via satellite. Your exact location is transmitted to the satellite, and then that information is sent to the appropriate authorities, usually like the U.S. Coast Guard. But there are devices called SPOTS that do a similar thing that isn't quite as official. But, yeah, these... personal locator beacons, kind of like the crash beacons that are found on all airplanes.
Right.
Triggering one of these things, and you're not really in trouble, by the way, is a major federal offense. Not to mention you get a bill for the rescue efforts.
That's right, for the operations that ensue. The Spot, by the way, I believe is a subscription service.
So and it's like $100 a year or something.
It's pretty nominal if you're out wandering around lots of places and you're by yourself. It could be very useful to people. But back to the space bees brought about by this company, the both space bee orbital launches, the one that already took place that was unauthorized,
right.
And the authorized one coming in November, are being facilitated by a company called Spaceflight, which is a company that organizes essentially ride-sharing on rockets, where commercial rockets that are going up that you can get part of the payload will be whatever it is that you need to send into space. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, the FCC may not be able to punish them is a possibility because there's no precedent or no laws or no whatever that says anything about that. So,
yep. They're actually having to make the probes larger so that they can be detected on radar. So, because when you're talking about, even
space
now these
junk.
Things are plastic, you're talking about things that are moving at the better part of 25,000 miles an hour.
Well, even
and when they smack into something, it makes a mess.
A wayward bolt in the same orbit as the
space
International
Station.
Space Station is that's a huge worry.
That could be a catastrophe.
Yeah. Yes. Speaking of knowing where you are and going places.
Yeah. Now, we talked about the rise and kind of plateauing and decline.
And the re-rise.
Re-rise of Pokemon Go.
Resurrection?
One upside of Pokemon Go was that it was getting people off their couches and getting them out and about. Unfortunately, out and about included sometimes walking in front of buses. The company is cooperating with the National Park Foundation in order to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the National Trails Wild and Scenic River Act, signed back in 1968. Niantic is encouraging players to visit rivers and trails before the end of the year and sent a postcard to publish an Instagram post. The company, file is now you're not going to be able to go. These are events. Now, you're not going to be able to go chasing your monsters in the nearest national park. I don't think National Park Service is particularly interested in having people walking around with their smartphones floating in front of their face.
No.
But it is a way to get people there in the first place, not necessarily to play their game, but to go claim these rewards, because if you take the picture, the company donates $5
for each post. The National Park Foundation.
Yeah. And they will get a patch and handwritten note.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So
that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So these augmented reality games do have possibilities to get people out and about. Like I said, just use a little situational awareness.
Yeah, you do need to be careful, for sure.
Let's see here. Oh, according to the Washington Post, and I'm trying to get into the article here. A California Democratic legislator wants to see the House of Representatives pass legislation that shields consumers from the onslaught of data breaches and the anxiety and confusion over the misuse of their personal information. It's called the Internet Bill of Rights. He hopes it will inform Now, this is sort of the European-style control over your own data. He says that the people of America are looking to the Congress to help them put together well-crafted regulation. sorry about that. Hairball. To protect them in the cyber world. You'll excuse me if I sound slightly cynical at this point. The list contains principles many lawmakers, consumer advocates, and technologists have long clamored for. The Internet Bill of Rights calls for network neutrality, consumer choice for Internet service providers. I'm okay with that. Greater transparency in data collection, opt-in consent, and timely notification if a company that holds your personal information suffers a hack.
Opt-in would be a big one.
Yeah.
instead of opting out, you have to opt in. There will be people who do that because what they'll do is they'll offer some kind of enticing little reward and that sort of thing. And then you're going to run into things where people have opted in and now they can't opt out, or they forget to opt out, which is what they hope, and so on and so forth. So they're still collecting data on you and making big bucks off that.
The two sides of the coin here, of course, is that you don't want to have something that is so onerous and restrictive that companies cannot innovate anymore.
Right.
That's a danger.
Or that there's no information flowing because things are so restrictive, or potentially, you know, litigious material and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the General Data Protection Regulation went into effect. Industry players such as Google, Facebook, Apple, they're updating their data policies to comply with the EU. I've seen websites that say, do not view this website if you're in the EU, which I found to be really interesting.
Yeah, and if you do, then what?
Yeah, well, it'll actually start blocking you, I guess.
Yeah, I would think so, because you know people are going to try that. Yeah, so some of the draft Bill of Rights, things like, one, you have the right to have access to and knowledge of all collection and uses of personal data. You have the right to opt in consent to the collection of personal data. You have the right to, where context is appropriate and with a fair process, obtain, correct, or delete personal data controlled by any company. Does that mean you can go in and fix your own credit report?
The right to be forgotten, of course, yep, is a big thing in Europe.
The right to move all personal data from one network to the next. The right to access and use Internet without Internet service providers blocking, throttling, engaging. That's net neutrality.
Yeah.
The right to Internet service without collection of data that's unnecessary for providing the
service. Now, define unnecessary.
Yeah, I know. And it's all these things. How many pages do you go to now on the web where it says, so-and-so wants to know your location?
Yeah.
No. Screw you. You don't need to know that. You probably already know it anyway. Why am I? I'm not giving you permission for that. You already know enough about me. And there's a right to not be unfairly discriminated against based on personal data. So, in other words, an insurance company can't look up something and say, I'll look at that. There we go. You know, you went to the doctor last week. So on and so forth. So it's about use of your private information is a lot of that. So I don't know how much that's actually going to slow things down. I suspect it will change things because they can't collect some data on you that is already being collected. Just a guess.
So, article here at Engadget, and this is interesting. Now, we've talked about the fact that AMC, the big theater chain, is fighting back against MoviePass, which was a way to get cheap movie tickets. AMC, now I'm not sure how they were doing this, how they were bundling the ability to get these tickets at a lower price. I still hadn't figured out, and I don't think they have actually revealed their secrets of how they do that. But it was enough of a hit on AMC's direct sales that they decided to start offering their own service. They had a year's goal of 500,000 subscribers. They passed 400,000 in just 14 weeks. Now, this is called the A-List service. They've already gotten to 80% of their one-year membership goal. Now, for $20 per month, you can see three.
See any combination of three movies a week.
Yeah.
So you could watch the same movie three times in one day if you wanted to.
Some movies you may have to watch three times just to figure out what happened.
Well, to catch all the fun, right? So MoviePass doesn't allow you to buy tickets days or weeks in advance, but the AMC, or unlike MoviePass, you can buy tickets days or weeks in advance using the AMC website or mobile app. It took AMC a while to come up with a competitor to MoviePass, but it seems to be that they've hit the right balance with that sort of thing. And if you think about that, $20, if you're in an urban area, $20 for three movies.
That's pretty good. In a month. Certain movies will be exempt from this.
Oh, I'm sure. There's, you know, the latest or times, meaning, you know, you can't go on premiere night. You have to wait till a movie's been in the theater for 2 weeks or something before you can go see it or something like that. Who knows? They'll put those kind of restrictions on there. But, hey, for $20 a month, that could be good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go home and watch Netflix in between. You know, because there really isn't. There are some things you can watch things on your big screen at home, but there are just some fun things about going to a movie theater and seeing a movie with a bunch of other people. It's a shared experience, and you don't get, you know, 150 other people in the room at your house. That doesn't happen. So far, they haven't put connected people all watching the same movie at the same time, although maybe someday they will. I don't know. But so it's, you know, and that's not going to be available everywhere, and it's just that company, I don't think. Cinemark is the local bigwig here.
There are no AMC theaters.
Yeah, there's no AMC theaters in our area. So there's, I think the one down in Anderson is privately owned.
Yeah, yeah.
So still, you know, whatever.
Well, remember the really cool rifles that the guys in the Colonial Marines in Aliens had? They fired a caseless round, and they had a really high fire rate in the grenade launcher. Could forget that. You know, Sigourney Weaver, you know.
Any grenade launcher's got to be cool.
the U.S. Army is looking at a prototype rifle with a firing rate of 250 rounds per second.
Jesus.
250 a second.
That's more than a force multiplier. That's like a logarithmic expansion of capability.
The U.S. Army says this prototype four-barrel rifle could fire all four rounds simultaneously. It looks like something out of a sci-fi movie. It's called the Ribbon Gun, and it was designed in a garage. Here we go.
Oh, this is Apple style.
Yeah, in Colorado Springs by Martin Greer. He has a company called Forward Defense Munitions. He spent about $500,000 bringing this thing up to marketable status.
It has four barrels.
Yep. It can fire four different kinds of ammunition, or it can really let go at 250 rounds per second. The innovative system is based on an electric actuator similar to the Vulcan 20-millimeter Gatling gun.
Huh.
Oh, baby!
Handheld Gatling gun, sort of, kind of.
The new rifle is anything but heavy. It weighs just a little bit less than the U.S. Army's M4 carbine.
Wow.
This is putting the firepower of a platoon in one soldier's hand. Now, you add things like accurate aiming system. And I know there's people who go, what do they need more deadly weapons? We need to, you know, it's a bad, nasty world out there, boys and girls.
The inventor has been quoted as saying, I want to give them a Clint Eastwood kind of edge. And what's interesting about this is the four barrels are stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
So is that an under, under, over, over? Or an over, over, under, under?
Or over, 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 over.
Yeah. What is that? You know?
Yeah, it's
or over, 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 under. There
six,
we go.
6-millimeter caseless ammo. So in other words, you don't have the big chunk of brass flying out of the rifle or steel. Out of the rifle. So
interesting to know a little bit more about what the propulsion system is. But yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's kind of crazy that. Go to the article. There's a little video on that, and you can see that sort of thing. It's pretty neat. It's, you know, if you're not a gun enthusiast, it probably doesn't sound all that great. But, you know, there's nothing quite so satisfying as blowing things up with bullets, targets, not people.
Now, our operating systems, like, you know, the Mac has the Mac has OS X High Sierra, OS X Mojave. Before that, we had all the cats. We had all the lion, the leopard, the
snow
jaguar,
leopard.
The snow leopard, etc. Android comes in candy flavors. You had
Kit Kat,
Nougat, Oreo, Kit Kat.
Yeah.
Before that, you know, lollipops, ice cream sandwich, cool names like that.
Desserts.
But what about your Wi-Fi? Wi-Fi standards. Well, gee, does your router have an 802.11n or an 802.11ac? Well, how the hell do I know?
Yeah, and I've never heard of this before, so what the heck?
The Wi-Fi Alliance is certifying Wi-Fi products. They're introducing a simpler nomenclature based on generations, Wi-Fi 4, Wi-Fi 5. You know, so oh, gee, okay, that's a number that I can kind of wrap my brain around and know that a 5 is better than a 4. The organization has also launched Wi-Fi 6, formerly known as 802.11ax. The president of, and CEO of the Wi-Fi Alliance says for about 20 years now, users have had to sort through technical naming conventions to determine whether you've got the latest Wi-Fi or something that is hopelessly out of date and vulnerable. It is hoped that this new naming scheme will, like, you know, just like, you know, Windows 10, Windows 7, Windows 8, whatever, will help you better figure out just what you've got, because I do this stuff, and I couldn't tell you the difference between a 802.11n and an 802.11ac. I couldn't tell you the difference, and yeah. I do this stuff.
Is there some significance to that and compatibility with something?
Well, it has to do with the speed, with the number of channels. There's a lot of parameters, and, of course, more features come out with every generation.
So like USB has USB and USB 2.0, USB 3.
Yeah, that you can figure out.
Yeah, that kind of makes a lot more sense. So now they're going with numbers, apparently. So yeah. Wi-Fi 6 is coming. That makes a whole lot more sense.
Oh, let's see here. A couple of more things. Oh, a U.S. report. There's a movement called Extreme Selfies.
Yeah, this is really
and
sad.
These are people who want to post a selfie on their Instagram of them doing something incredibly dangerous, like hanging off the edge of a cliff, or in the case of the story, the picture here, somebody taking a selfie of themselves standing in front of an approaching train. 259 deaths
worldwide
have so far resulted. Well, this is a global study, but drowning, transport accidents, and falling were found to be the most common death of people taking extreme selfies, but also death by animals, electrocution, fire, and firearms appear frequently. This is a matter of hold my beer, watch this.
Kind of thing, sort of. Most of the fatal extreme selfies occurred on the tops of mountains, tall buildings, and in lakes, report said. It's kind of crazy. They have an example here. I don't know how staged it is of someone standing on a train track in front of an approaching train. I think it's probably Photoshop.
Yeah, it looks like a Photoshop to me. Yeah.
But still, the idea of that. This study was actually done kind of by doing a Google search, essentially. It's kind of interesting.
Now, the report is recommending the establishment of no selfie zones at dangerous locations, but given the diversity of locations and the stupidity of the individuals involved, it's hard to see this
just
as
find
a,
somewhere else.
How a sign is going to keep this from happening.
Exactly.
The majority of the transport-related deaths result from attempting to take a selfie while standing on tracks in front of an approaching train.
And there's some good evidence, or the institutes that's doing this study. The institute that did this research says that even though their estimate of 259 deaths from extreme selfies, was pretty documented, they think that that's very likely to be an underestimate of what's really gone on out there.
Yeah, but there are pictures of people leaning way out over the
crazy.
Grand Canyon or something.
Poor students of physics. Yeah. Gravity. You got to watch out for gravity.
Yeah.
And objects in motion tend to stay in motion.
Yeah. this is a great truth that the train always wins. That's about all we've got time for this week on Boomer Tech Radio. BoomerTechRadio@gmail.com or sign on to the website, BoomerTechRadio.com. You can sign up for the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or the Google Play Store. Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is,
You rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.